You know, a couple of years ago, Dick, when people would have told me, hey, you know, somebody's beaming signals at me, they're trying to control my brain, I got to tell you, I probably would have said, okay, there's something a little weird going on here. I don't feel that way anymore. I think there's something big going on, and I think most of the people who are talking about this, something is indeed happening to them.
You know, there is a large number of people. In fact, as you mentioned, just going into the program, the Washington Post this last weekend had over 7,000-word article dedicated to this subject. The article is called Mind Games. It was in Sunday's edition. And, you know, it featured a number of people, one gentleman in particular who I've been acquainted with for years, Harlan Girard. And Harlan, you know, has been victimized by these technologies and has talked about it. And has worked hard in Europe bringing the issue forward there and produced some of the finest research in the area. He's been working in this area since 1983. I've known him since the early 1990s. And he's a very credible guy, and he's not alone. There are many, many people that we hear from that have been victims of this kind of experimentation. In fact, just last week, there was an article that appeared and in the news service, Canadian West mm-hmm. News Service, and this is January 11th, and it was posted in Montreal, and it talks about a woman who was used in CIA experiments. The headline is "Woman Sues Ottawa Over CIA Brainwashing at Montreal Hospital," and the work was being done by Dr. Ewan Cameron back from 1950 to 1965. And apparently, the CIA already settled with her back in 1989. They gave her a $66,000 U.S. dollar settlement, according to this article. And they also, the Canadian government, settled with 77 other victims of these CIA experiments conducted in Canada at $100,000 apiece. What she's trying to do is resurrect another class action lawsuit for those victims that have not been compensated in Canada. And I think that's pretty remarkable. Unfortunately, no coverage on that story in the U.S., but just a few days later, the Washington Post article comes out giving even greater credibility to the issue of victims of human experimentation in this area. And, you know, and this isn't the first time. You know, this came up years and years ago, as we talked about it, through the MKUltra programs mm-hmm. run by the CIA. There's a number of programs that have been run by other agencies of the government. And what is surprising to me is that finally, after literally decades, we're starting to see some discussion about this type of experimentation and what are the results of it. And I think that's a good step in the right direction to perhaps shine some light on this really, really disturbing subject.
Well, what's important too, Nick, it appears that now we have high technology. Even during the MKUltra time period, it really wasn't a technological approach. It is this time. What does the Post mean by the Pentagon is pursuing a weapon that can do this?
Well, what they've been doing is they put this under the classification of non-lethal weapons. And so they've been pursuing this for quite some time. In fact, there's an open RFP, request for proposal, that doesn't close until 2009. Where they're actively asking people to present proposals in the mind control area. In fact, as recently as November of last year, November 3rd, the Navy just adopted a brand new protocol, and it's on the subject is called Human Research Protection Program, and it's a bit of a misnomer. It's really the methods under which human experimentation can happen. And on page 9, one of the most startling sections in this document, it says the Undersecretary of the Navy is the approval authority for research involving A, severe or unusual intrusions, either physical or psychological, on human subjects, such as consciousness-altering drugs or mind control techniques, B, prisoners, and C, potentially or inherently controversial topics, such as those likely to attract significant media coverage or that might invite challenge by interest groups, unquote. Now, that's a pretty blatant statement that this work continues, and it takes the Undersecretary of the Navy in the course of the Navy's work to actually approve those experiments. But those experiments go on. It's really what the Air Force is now referring to as controlled effects, and they actually talk about it in a document. It was a publication, Technology Horizons, from June 2004, and the Electromagnetic Directorate of the Air Force wrote the article where they're looking at not just emotional states, but controlling all five senses, giving people the possibility of complete holographic illusions that you could not separate from real from the fiction. And when you even go back to the old MK Ultra days, although what came out in the open literature talked mainly about chemicals and pharmaceuticals being used to affect behavior, they were actually using some crude technologies as far back as that period of time. Even the Leda machine from the Vietnam War era, mid-60s, was being used. Alan Fry in 1960 and 61 determined microwave hearing and auditory effects. In 1958, there was an invention of a device that actually would transfer sound through the nervous system directly into the brain. A crude version of that we actually demonstrated when I testified in front of the European Parliament back in 1998, and actually got a resolution from the European Parliament that addressed the manipulation of human beings directly.
Why would they be doing this, Nick? Are they doing it for warfare, or, as I think, some kind of massive crowd control, maybe even to use it in this country?
Well, it would fall under non-lethal weapons, and non-lethal weapons going back, and we trace this in our book, Controlling the Human Mind. The actual protocols that evolved started in the mid-80s when the Department of Justice became interested in these exotic types of technologies and began to approach DOD. They had a series of meetings that eventually became classified, so we can't even look in. But what they did is, in 1994, sign a joint agreement between Department of Justice and Department of Defense, where they agreed that priority funding would go to those things that could be used for dual purposes, both for domestic crowd control purposes and for against foreign adversaries. Now, that was amplified more recently in September when Secretary of the Air Force Wynn actually came out and said that all non-lethal weapons would be tested on American citizens before they're deployed in combat, so as to convince the world that, you know, what we're doing isn't so horrible after all. I find that sort of mindset a little objectionable, particularly in light of the fact that the previous administration admitted over 500,000 victims of human experimentation in the United States without their consent, and none of those victims have ever seen a trial in a courtroom where the full disclosures were ever brought forward. And I think that's, again, sort of the direction of all of this has been one of really human rights abuse. And in fact, on that theme, Sonoma State University just released in the last week a study that they completed. It's called U.S. Electromagnetic Weapons and Human Rights. It's by Dr. Peter Phillips. We're quoted as one of four of 22 experts in that 41-page report, and that report in its entirety is posted on our website at EarthPulse.